KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Family Matters, Mask's weekly radio show. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Aligned, Saving Kids. Mask is in our 21st year, over 48,000 families. We're here to help you if you need a referral if for any mental health issues, whatever age, elementary age, high school age, married children, yourself. Please call our confidential helpline at 718-758-0400. We offer support groups. We're in the schools. We do prevention programs. Again, let me give out our phone number. Maybe it's for yourself, maybe a loved one, a husband, a wife, your child, your neighbor, maybe someone you sit next to in shul. Our confidential number from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. is 718-758-0400. And in Mirtz Hashem, on October 26th and 27th, Mask will be having its second Shabbaton in Brooklyn. So any family that is struggling with any family with mental health issue, drugs, alcohol, gambling, eating disorder, prevention for at-risk behaviors, elementary age children that you want to really prevent, do some prevention work, come Friday night, Shabbos lunch, Shalosh Seudot. We are speakers, Rabbanim. Please call the Mask Helpline to make your reservation. 718-758-0400. And it's confidential. I know it's hard to come out and you think you're going to be seen, but our last one, we had 135 brave parents who came and it was wonderful. They got so much chizuk. I would like to welcome on tonight Rebbetzin Bassi Rosenblatt. Bassi, thank you for being on with us tonight.
Hi, Rahama.
Hi, so nice to have you on with us. Bassi has always been available to Mask, to the staff, supervises our interns all the years, and I want to say publicly a special yashar koach to you. Thank you, Bassi. I'm asking you to just share, this week is Mental Health Awareness Week, and I was wondering, you've been on this journey with Mask, it's been 21 years, and it's been a real shift in the community, in New York, in around the world, about working towards stigma-free. And I'd like you to just tell our listeners tonight about what the shift is, what you've been seeing, and how we can reach out to help somebody that may need some guidance.
Okay, so hi everybody, and thank you for having me. You know, first of all, Rahama, I'm so happy to hear that you're hosting and having this weekend again. I had the opportunity to stop by the last time you had it, and it was such a chizuk for so many people, for so many parents. They came in not knowing what to expect, and they left feeling like they had friends, like they had people who understood them, like they had people that they could count on. So just on that part of the conversation, if anybody finds themselves in a position that they want to join, I can tell you that this is a weekend that will benefit you, your family, and you'll walk away feeling like you're part of something greater and you're not in this alone. So just on that count, it's kol hakavod to you and your organization for doing all the great work with parents and this exceptional weekend that you have planned for them. Just a
little
bit about
mental health. You know, Basti, I just want to add that nothing can be done without my amazing staff and all the interns that work at MASC.
Right, right. Yeah, this is a big job to put together. But the parents came out, and the diversity and the range of parents that you had there was just something to behold. You had every community, every stripe, every type was represented, and they were all there for one common cause, and that common cause was to promote the best way to help their family and their children and themselves. I wanted to talk a little bit about Mental Health Week. You know, when we first entered the mental health field, so some of us are a little, you know, shy about this, and we don't know, and we're not sure. We have evolved, Baruch Hashem, over the years so much and come to a place where mental health is something that's recognized as integral to function well and to function in a family setting, in any setting that we're in, so that we can be the best person we can be. And there is so much help available today. Every community has people who are out there that can help them, qualified people, licensed people, people who really know their work and who have done a lot of extra work and extra training to treat every facet of mental health, whether it's trauma, whether it's anxiety, whether it's depression, whether it's marital stuff. It's just so much out there that is available, so much counseling, so much intervention, EMDR through the mind, and there is a lot of help available, and you can avail yourself of it. And what MASC does best is that they can advocate for you, they can help you get the help you need, they'll help you to the right person, they'll take into consideration what your financial strata is and where you find yourself and find the best fit for you, and they have a really good handle on who's available and who knows what they know. And the other thing that they do well is also they have groups that they can offer. They can direct you to a group, or sometimes they run their own group. And there's a lot of power and strength in groups where you find people who are joining for a common cause. And I have to say that MASC has been at the forefront and has trailblazed for many people and in many communities what they could not do for themselves, by taking mental health and putting it at the forefront of what's available, and to tell people, look, you know, there's no reason for you to go through something by yourself. We're here. We can help you. We'll hold your hand. Ruchama, I heard you mention something like 48,000 families. That's a yes. lot of referrals. That's a lot of people over the years that you have helped. And I've been in that MASC office myself and seen that phone just ringing right off the hook. And I know Esther, who is absolutely magnificent and confidential, and they do the work they do in the most refined and considerate way. And I think that, you know, keeping in mind the idea of mental health, just remember that it's something that we're all aware of now, and that there is help available. And there is no reason anymore to suffer and to watch somebody else suffer and to watch somebody else go through something that is difficult for them. So there is help available, and while we're aware of this week of mental health, make a note of it. Make a note of the fact that there is an organization called MASC who is there, who can help you. Ruchama, I'm sure you'll give them your number, and use the services that they offer, because they are truly, truly at the forefront and at the cutting edge of what's out there and what's available. So thank you all. And Ruchama, thank you for including me in your wonderful journey. And thank good luck to you. Everybody.
Thank you, Basti. You've been really, really amazing. Always available. Basti has a private practice. Anyone wants to get in touch with Basti, feel free to call the MASC helpline at 718-758-0400. And again, anyone that wants to come to our Shabbaton, give us a call. We'll give you all the details. It is local. It's in a hall in Flatbush. And if you would like to sponsor somebody that cannot afford to come to the Shabbaton, feel free to call MASC, So we will get you to do a big mitzvah. You may not need masks, but you may be able to sponsor another family that would benefit, that are going through hard times, both with a child, a family member, a loved one, and financial difficulties. So thank you again, Basi. It's wonderful always speaking with you and having you on. Thank you
so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
I am so, so honored to have with us a woman that is working towards stigma-free for herself. She is here on our show tonight talking about her own mental health challenges and how important it is for all of us to recognize that it doesn't define the person. So I would like to welcome Chumi. Her Instagram name is The Iced Life. I-C-E-D-L-I-F-E. The Iced Life on Instagram. And she today spoke very passionately about Mental Health Awareness Week and what her struggles are still today and her frustrations. I want to say thank you, Chumi, for coming on live on the Mask Family Matters radio show.
Thank you for having me.
So, Chumi, just to give everyone a little background, I mean, it takes a lot of courage to take off your mask, to speak openly, to raise awareness. You're a married woman in the Frum community. You have three little children, Kanainahara. And you want to share with our listeners what your challenge is. So go right. You have the floor.
So I actually have two children, two little boys.
Two children.
It's okay. So I've always been a very sort of open person. I'm not secretive. I don't like secrets. I just, you know, this is who I am. This is me. You get what you see. And when I started, after my second child was born, I went to work full time almost immediately after he was born. And I started struggling because it was hard. I was out of the house from 8:30 till 6:30 every day. I had two little kids at home. I had to run my house, I had to cook, I had to clean. It was too much for me to handle. And it started affecting my emotional self, my mental self. Just, I wasn't thinking straight. And when he was a few months old, I remember things were just getting very crazy. And my husband told me, he's like, this is not who you are. You have to take it easy. You have to relax just a little bit. And it was hard, and I didn't want to recognize that there was something wrong with me. I knew what postpartum depression was. I didn't want to recognize it inside myself because, well, who wants to be labeled as depressed? Like, you know, I've grown up in the Frum community my whole life, and it's part of who we are is the stigma attached to mental health. It's like, no one talks about it. It's a secret thing. No one knows who's on medication, if you're on medication. When I moved to America, because I'm not originally from here, but when I moved here, I used to laugh how therapy was like such a common thing here. Everyone went to therapy, but no one actually talked about going to therapy, and no one actually talked about the mental health side of things. And I remember when at that point, I was working full-time. I just couldn't deal with it. I decided, you know what? I'm going to try going to therapy. And I mentioned it to a friend of mine from England, and she tells me, oh, you're such an American now. And I told her, you don't realize the life, especially in New York, it's different. I'm working full-time. I have kids. There's so much pressure. There's so much going on. It's almost impossible to live here and to live this lifestyle without therapy. You need someone to be your sounding board. And my husband is great, and he's extremely, he's my closest friend I've ever had. But there's a limit to how much of a sounding board he can be. So I decided I'm going to try therapy. But I just kept going back and forth. I didn't like it. It wasn't for me. It wasn't good. I tried a few different therapists. I decided that I just need to breathe and deal with it myself without telling anyone. And I didn't have that much close family living in America at the time. I didn't have that many close friends either because all my friends were back in England. I came to a point, my baby at the time was already 15 or 16 months old, and I used to drive to work every day, and one day on my way to work, I got a red traffic light, and I had to put my car into park because the temptation to put my foot down on the gas and drive into oncoming traffic was so intense and so like, I've got to do this, I need to get out of myself right now. I put my car into park and I started crying, and it happens to be that I was lucky. I used to drive past my husband's work on my way to my work. And so I pulled over, I had just cried to him that I can't do this anymore and I know I need to see a therapist. I know I probably need medication, but I can't admit it to myself. I need him to help me. So he came with me to my first doctor appointment, and the doctor basically told me, I can prescribe you medication, go to a therapist and she will send you to someone to prescribe medication, which I didn't like therapy. Eventually, I just decided, that's it. I've got to do it myself. There's no one who's going to be able to tell me what I can do better than myself. So I went online, I went onto my health insurance website, I searched psychiatrist, and I picked the first one that came up, and I told my husband that he has to come with me. So he drove me to the door, and I waited, I saw the psychiatrist, and I told her my feelings, that every day I'm driving to work, and all I want to do is crash my car. I told her, I don't want to die, I have kids, I don't want to die, but I want to crash my car, like, I want to hurt myself. And she told me, I remember her words so clearly, and it literally just, it's like, it really defined the rest of, like, from then on, it defines who I am. She tells me, there's nothing wrong with you. You don't want to die. You just want a break. You need a break. Your brain is overworking. Your mind is overworking. And it's not working properly to how you need to live. And she right away prescribed me medication. And that was first few months was so hard for me. Because, like I said before, I'm an open person. What you see is what you get. And hiding my medication was just weird to me. Like, I didn't even tell my family about it because I was embarrassed. And then I remember I went to visit my parents for a short weekend. I went myself, and I had my medication with me. And basically, it came out to my parents, to my grandparents, whoever was there, that I'm on medication. And they were just so normal about it. And, you know, my mother was like, that's great. My grandmother was fully supportive. And I realized that by hiding it, the only thing I'm doing is making it harder for myself, because every person needs a support network. Every person needs people who know what they're going through and who are there for them. And by hiding part of me, I was not opening myself up to having a proper support network. So I slowly started opening up. I had Instagram already at the time. I started talking about it on Instagram quite a few months later, and I was still sort of not secretive, I would say just hidden. I didn't say everything about what I was going through because I was talking to over 1,000 people and I don't know 99% of them. So it was a little hard for me. Then eventually I realized that there's no way to make myself feel 100% okay with my medication if the stigma is so, like, it's such a big thing in the community to hide it, that if I'm open about it, maybe one more person will be open about it, and eventually the stigma will go away, because there really isn't anything to stigmatize. There's nothing wrong with being a person with a little bit of an illness or a problem. And I came up with a lot of different examples to compare it with, because at the beginning, I did get a lot of messages saying, oh, did you try this? Did you read that book? Did you try this herbal remedy? Did you try that? Did you try the other? And I was trying to show people that herbal remedies might be great, and I use some, and they are great for me. And books are also amazing, but you can't actually be open to your body. Your mind isn't going to accept these things if the core of it isn't working properly. And medication heals that core, or helps to heal that core, so that you can work on yourself more and become better. And eventually you can wean off the medication, because the medication has assisted you to help yourself, and you've helped yourself, and now you can go off the medication. So that was pretty much my journey, and the more I was open about it on Instagram, the more positive feedback I got, and people, I still get messages from people saying, oh, I'm so happy you're doing this, but I would never be able to. And then I also get messages from people and even young girls who are like, you've encouraged me to be more open. I send people to watch you so they know what I'm going through. And I always say, like, even the fact that I help one person, it gives me the comfort. And every time I'm about to post something that I'm a little scared about or I feel a little vulnerable, I just remember, like, one person told me I'm great for doing this, so I'll do it.
Yes, you have really made a big impact on Instagram on talking about mental health issues, and this week especially being Mental Health Awareness Week. It takes such courage for you to be able to use any platform, Instagram or Masks Radio Show. We have so many listeners every week, and just from them alone, I would like to thank you for sharing your personal story, your challenges. And it really, for my listeners out there listening, it could take one person at a time to help society in making changes and curing stigma. There are authors, musicians, there are social influencers, there are many people that are sharing, coming out, disclosing, opening up in public, not on social media, in different arenas, that they're coming out and talking about their own mental health challenges and their experiences in seeking treatment. And it takes a lot of courage and hope and to offer to our listeners, those that are struggling with themselves and those that have family members. It's about understanding, it's about acceptance, and mainly, it's about hope, offering hope. And I would like to just say that everyone should take the pledge to work towards stigma-free. And if even one person speaks to one more person this week about how their experience, their own personal experience, and give the chizuk to someone that may be going through it, sharing what's going on in your own life, and giving them the strength to share, wow, what a great mitzvah if we all would just reach out to somebody that maybe could use the chizuk. It's an easy mitzvah. It's helping cure stigma. Want to thank the First Lady, Shirlane McRae, for Thrive New York City, working in New York City to cure the stigma. Thank you, NAMI, for helping get the word out there and curing the stigma in all mental health issues. And, Chumi, I'm just wondering, do you get negative comments on your Instagram about sharing your issues or making it public?
So I'm actually very lucky that on my Instagram, my followers are amazing, and 99% of the time, the feedback I get is positive. The most negative feedback I would get that I have received is people saying, I got a message from someone saying, how could you push someone to take medication if it's addictive? So I just gave her a basic explanation saying, you know, I'm not telling anyone to do anything. I'm not a doctor. I'm just encouraging people to realize that there's nothing wrong if you have to. But I give a lot of examples and explanations, like comparisons, so people understand where I'm coming from. And I also preface everything by saying I'm not a doctor, and anyone who messages me, I encourage them to see. I actually send people, followers, to my own psychiatrist and therapist because I've managed to find someone that's so good that I'm happy to share. But thankfully, I don't get that much negativity. So there really is, the Jewish world especially is really opening up, which is also helpful to me. Like, it's helping me do more.
Right. It really is. And through our words and actions, we can all shift the social and systemic barriers for those living with mental health conditions. You know, there's 1 in 5 Americans are affected by mental health conditions, and it shames them into silence and prevents them from seeking help. So let us all work towards curing stigma. Let us take the pledge to work towards stigma-free. And I want to thank you so much, Chami. I want to wish you well in all areas of in your life. And you should have nachas from both your children. And I want to thank you on behalf of MASC and all our listeners for sharing your personal story, your very, very personal story. And if we help one person tonight, then it was worth it all. If anyone is interested in attending our Shabbaton, please call MASC 718-758-0400, our confidential helpline. If you'd like to sponsor someone that cannot afford to attend, please call us. And you can go on to massparents.org to make a donation and to help MASC help others. Anyone that needs a referral for mental health issues, including addictions, please call the MASC helpline 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. 718-758-0400. Thank you, Chami, again. And I want to wish everyone a very good evening and a most beautiful Shabbos. Thank you and good night.
Maimonides Medical Center in Brooklyn is the number one rated cardiac care program in New York. With the most advanced technology and top-rated heart specialists, there's no better place in New York than Maimonides. Get the facts at nycheart.org.
Hi, this is Rebbetzin Sarah Shulevitz-Borhand, and I'm joined by the fabulous
Toby Rubenstein, once a Rebbetzin, always a Rebbetzin.
Welcome to the Rebbetzins Club. This is going to be an exciting show.
It is. We're so excited to have this show where we have a forum for women's voices, for the empowerment of women with this new world order, right, Sarah? It's a woman's world now, right?
It's a very exciting time for women and especially for Jewish women.
Yes, and we are going to discuss topics that are very timely and controversial. And, of course, we're going to discuss first this Kavanaugh thing from halachic point of view and, of course, a criminal point of view. You, Sarah, the legal experts, are going to give us your role on this.
Yes, as a criminal defense attorney and former prosecutor, I can't wait to give a legal perspective, and we'll be discussing all these issues.
Oh, and also we're going to discuss the issue of the demonization of shaitels. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it a crown of shame? Is it a crown of glory? There are so many subjects to discuss. We're just so excited to have this show. It's going to be on WSNR 620 AM, talklinecommunications.com, every Thursday night from 7 to 8. We can't wait to hear from you and to give us subjects to discuss, but we can't wait to hear your opinion. So please join us at the Rebbetzins Club, me and Sarah. Thanks.
Welcome to our club, everyone.
Barzini's Fruit and Grocery not only has the largest selection of groceries, fruits, vegetables, and frozen items at the lowest prices on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, Barzini has now expanded its kosher department as well. You can now get all your favorite kosher cheeses from Israel and around the world, as well as a full line of Israeli and American groceries, including hard-to-find items, breads, condiments, and dips, all at the best prices in Manhattan. Barzini's is here to serve you. They're located at 2455 Broadway between West 90th and 91st Streets in Manhattan. Open 24 hours a day for your convenience. Come in and check out their newly expanded kosher section and stock up with savings throughout the store, including the freshest and best fruits and vegetables. Barzini's, first in quality, first in low prices.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.
KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.